Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is Charlotte, and you're watching Going In Raw. That sounds terrible.
What's up? This is the most must-see WWE superstar of all time and his lovely, gorgeous wife,
Marie.
And you are going in Raw.
What's up? It's your girl, Sasha Banks, the legit boss, and you are watching Going In Raw.
Oh, baby, I like it raw. Oh, baby, I like it raw. And you are tuned in to Going In Raw right now. How you doing?
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you're going to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steven Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe, notify button. Make sure you're getting all your new Going In Raw content. And then, of course, if you're on the iOS podcast app, you can always leave us a rating or a review. It's a great way to help out the show. Completely free and doesn't take a lot of time.
Yes.
Right. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson. If you do have some extra money laying around in the cushions of your couch or in your PayPal account, you can always give us some money. And in exchange, we'll give you things.
Yeah.
Like maybe a comic book, maybe a t-shirt, maybe some live stream accesses. Access
thank
live
you
streams.
Postcard with our signatures on it.
Yeah. Access to our weekly chat trivia contest on the post show.
Yeah, right. People seem to like that.
Yeah, people seem to like that.
They seem to like that quite a bit.
Sometimes. Sometimes they lose. Sometimes they don't like it because they lose.
Yeah, that's true.
And then they start yelling at us.
Yeah.
Well, anyways.
But we just say...
Tranquilo.
Tranquilo.
Tranquilo. I'm glad you mentioned Tranquilo, Larson, because today we're going to be talking about Wrestle Kingdom
predictions. Our predictions for Wrestle Kingdom 12. But we also have other news to discuss.
Yeah, probably be best to do that first. Number one in the news. Paige. Ooh, scary injury, perhaps.
Maybe. Maybe. Yeah, we're still waiting on more information. We're shooting this Thursday about a quarter after 11 in the AM Pacific. So this is the latest on Paige. Maybe, possibly, suffering some sort of injury during Wednesday's night house show in Uniondale, New York, according to the Wrestling
Lovely
Observer.
There in Uniondale, New York, by the way.
Have you ever been?
I took up residence there for a couple of
years. Where in the state of New York is Uniondale?
It's in one of the best areas of the state, Larson. It's a really, really wonderful area of New York. I lived there for
upstate?
A number
is
of
it
years.
West New York, Long Island, where is it?
All that. All the good areas is where Uniondale is.
It's on Long Island, man.
You know, for once, you can just play along with me.
No.
Anyways,
according to the Wrestling Observer himself, the injury occurred during a six-woman tag match between Absolution, of course, that's Paige's faction.
Yes, correct.
And between Absolution and Sasha Banks, Bayley, and Mickie James, and that Paige, quote, took a hard kick to the back from Banks that appeared that she hadn't braced herself for and was unable to continue.
Did you see the injury?
Mm-mm.
Somebody posted on the Twitters today.
The actual kick?
Yeah, they made like a GIF out of it.
Yeah.
A GIF.
Was she kicked square in the back or like more on the neck?
No, it was on the back. It was on the... Oh, here it is. We can watch it live now. That's her on the ground writhing around.
Yeah.
Honestly, like it didn't look like anything that... There's nothing
out of the ordinary.
There's nothing abnormal about it. I mean, this is kind of from a distance. I'm not going to show it because that would be a copyright violation of some sort. But yeah, like her stumbling around afterwards looked really bad.
Oh, right there. Oh yeah.
Yeah. That's it right there. So like that could be,
it could be a situation with her recent neck surgery.
Yeah. Whiplash. I know. And I mean, if she's not prepared for that, then that could be
sort of like when Sting took the buckle bombs. I mean,
yeah, I know,
you know, it's just a matter of him not tucking his chin and bracing himself. It seemed, according to Sting.
Yeah.
Anyways, the match was stopped pretty much immediately and apparently a stretcher was brought out. For Paige, but she ultimately left the ring with some assistance under her own power.
That must suck this morning waking up.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh, that must suck.
Stiff neck.
Oh, yeah, big time.
At the least.
Anyways, PW Insider reported that following the incident, Paige had been pulled from the remainder of this week's live events, and that word backstage is she may have suffered a stinger due to the blows from Banks. Due to the blow from Banks, sorry, the kick.
Yeah.
Mick Foley posted an update on Paige's condition on Twitter saying, quote, I am so happy to be hearing that Paige is doing much better after a scary moment at the Nassau Coliseum show.
That's on Long Island.
That's well, you know, it's a lovely area of New York that I personally, I mean, I have great memories of the Nassau Coliseum.
Do you know what hockey team plays in that arena or used to play in that arena?
Yeah.
If you're still familiar with the area.
One of the best hockey teams.
Well, they were at one point.
The Rangers.
No. Try again.
The New York Ice Skaters.
Islanders.
Islanders.
New York Islanders.
Come on, man. We're supposed to be on the same page.
We are.
I'm, so to speak.
I'm giving you some static, and you're responding in kind. That's how it's always been.
The lovely area, Uniondale. I remember my years there fondly. I was so loaded on drugs, I didn't know where I was, man. All right.
You probably weren't even in Uniondale.
Maybe not. Maybe I was in Erie, Pennsylvania, enjoying the 6 feet of snow they're getting.
Could be.
Yeah, this is terrifying because Paige just came back. Mm-hmm. She just came back from a neck injury.
Yeah, she was out more than a year.
Yeah, so hopefully this Mick Foley tweet actually means something and he has some sort of inside information.
Well, I think he lives in the area, so maybe he was at the show.
Oh, okay, well, there you go. I'm sure he'd have insider access then.
I think, I mean, I'm guessing Mick Foley has actually been to Uniondale. He might have been in Uniondale.
Yeah, maybe.
To take in this house show.
Well, I remember hanging out with him a couple times there in Uniondale. High off my gourd.
You need to lay off the pharmaceuticals, man.
Maybe. What day is it? Oh, it's not the first yet.
No.
Anyways, yeah, this is scary, but hopefully, you know, Mick Foley, the insider, is accessed.
Yeah, hopefully it's a situation where she kind of had some whiplash. Oof. At most a stinger.
Yeah.
You don't want to re-aggravate a neck injury, especially when it took her so long to come back from the initial one.
I remember my mom got into a car accident in Scotland. Do you know what Hadrian's Wall is?
I've heard of it, yes.
Do you know where it is? Where is Hadrian's Wall in Scotland, since you're all of a sudden such an expert?
Not in the Highlands. Is that correct?
I think it's like near the border. I could be completely wrong.
Oh, the border of Scotland and England?
I probably is, because they used to beef a lot.
Anyway, that was built by the Romans.
She was over near... Yeah, I have no idea. She was out there, though, and we had like this giant station wagon at the time.
Yeah.
And she got hit, and then she was in a neck brace for like ages after that.
Yeah.
It was comical. It was like Joel Gertner status.
Oh, it was like Curtis Axel?
Yeah, and she milked it for everything. Oh, Steven. Steven, my neck. Don't make me laugh. Anyways, so she was out for a lot longer, hopefully, than Paige is going to be out.
Yeah, hopefully this is just an aggravation of an injury.
Mm-hmm.
Some whiplash, nothing more serious than that. We're awaiting word from WWE. If WWE doesn't say anything, I'm just going to assume that she'll just won't be in action for a couple weeks. Get some rest. Get healed up.
Hey,
be ready for the Rumble.
Speaking of people who are out, I believe they said Brian Kendrick's going to be out 2 months.
Okay.
Because it's not as bad as I think Austin Aries' orbit just got like shattered.
Yeah.
But apparently, I think on 205 Live, they said that Nigel McGuinness said that Kendrick's only going to be out for 2 months.
Good.
And it's like a fracture or something like that.
They want to do surgery. You should come out in those masks like basketball players wear.
He probably will. Wouldn't surprise
me.
That'd
be cool.
I do that all the time.
Cody Rhodes did that.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And he worked it into an amazing storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So hopefully.
Whatever happened to Cody Rhodes, anyways, after he was released from WWE?
Who knows?
Go on to do big things?
I haven't heard anything from him.
Me neither, man.
Hopefully, Paige will heal up soon, and this is nothing serious. I'm assuming if WWE, I was about to say, WWE doesn't issue any statement about it, that it isn't anything serious and anything that's going to require a prolonged absence, much less surgery. So if we get through the weekend with no announcement, hopefully it all ends up being not a huge deal.
Yeah, hopefully. Anyways,
hopefully.
Here's an Instagram picture of Paige. Let's see if that has any info.
No, that's John Cena and
what
Nikki Bella.
Flip? Oh, they always do this. 25
this is their best of
Instagram photos of the week. Paige, like, my neck hurts. Bloody at my neck. Oi, oi, oi. Anyways, this is huge, man. I woke up this morning to this news. This John Cena business.
Yeah, this is interesting. We spoke about on our Super Show yesterday that Cena is a current favorite to win the Rumble. Well, Dave Meltzer, the Wrestling Observer himself, kind of threw some cold water on all that.
Not going to happen. Hold on a second before you continue. I just do want to mention this. So yesterday's show, we talked about the betting odds for the Royal Rumble.
Yeah.
It's very early. And I got one person on Twitter who very respectfully said, hey, can you guys please not talk about betting odds because it ruined Orton's win for him last year.
Yeah.
That's the extent of which we'll talk about it. Going forward, we're not going to.
I mean, and last year, I'll just say, this early on, I don't think Orton was anywhere near the favorite.
Right, exactly.
The favorites really don't come to... And this year has been a lot different than previous years in terms of betting odds being spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
There have been several matches, especially the second half of 2017, where whoever was favored didn't win. Most recently, when
Dolph Ziggler was
won
a
the US
massive
title.
Underdog.
He was a huge underdog and ended up winning the match.
Yeah. But
so whatever leaks were coming out of WWE seemingly have either been squashed or they're releasing, allowing some misinformation.
Yeah. But I totally understand
the
point.
So as we get closer,
I don't like discussing
this. This is pretty much the extent we'll talk about betting odds, especially as we get closer to the show. You won't hear us beyond us saying, have you looked at the betting odds?
Yeah, we always do the wink and a nudge.
That's it. We won't do any, because I think last year going up the Rumble, we actually pulled the pages up and we're like, who is Samoa Joe's like 6-1? That seems low. Stuff like that. You know?
Right,
and he wasn't
right,
even in the match.
Yeah.
Anyways, so Wrestling Observer himself, Dave Meltzer, in this week's newsletter, had the following to say about Cena and WrestleMania. Quote, although there are rumors about Styles versus Cena at Mania, I'm told that right now that is incorrect, and Cena is in a much bigger match than Styles. The only thing I was told is it will be clear within a few weeks what this match is. And he goes on to speculate what would be a more prominent opponent for Cena than AJ Styles. He mentions names Undertaker, Batista, Goldberg, or Hogan.
Hogan would be something else.
But that's not going to happen.
Why not?
I don't think he's physically capable of wrestling.
That's good. He's been working out, though.
I know, but I hear he has a bad back, like a really bad
back.
Well,
yeah, all those freaking leg drops, man. It's going to compress that crap out of that spot.
Yeah, that's why he's like 3 inches shorter than he was in his heyday.
Okay, it's two names, Undertaker or Goldberg. And I kind of feel like it's probably, I don't know. So, like, the biggest draw from last year's Mania was Goldberg, you know? Cena Undertaker would have made sense last year.
Yeah, I know.
But, I mean, I get that they wanted to do the Roman Reigns thing, and that actually, in terms of their long-term, as you like to say, mortgaging their company on Roman Reigns, that made sense, you know?
If you do Cena Undertaker now, it's going to seem like a retread of Reigns Undertaker.
Who would win that match?
Well, they're not going to have... They wouldn't have Undertaker win or lose 2 years in a row, but at the same time,
what has Cena really gained?
Unless this is actually going to be Undertaker's last Mania, and then you send him off with the win.
Yeah, but here's the thing about that. Then you get into a boy who cried wolf situation, because how was last year's Mania not his last Mania?
Well, we talked about a way around that. American Badass Undertaker.
Which is not really, that cannot be a draw. They can't think that that's a draw. Part of the thing about The Undertaker is that you can hide his, like, you know, ancient appearance, his visage of just being a super old guy.
Oh, yeah, underneath the
razzle dazzle
of the powers of the darkness.
Thank you. Yeah, the powers of the darkness.
But he's just a biker guy. He's going to roll
up
there
on
a hog.
He's
going to look like an old biker guy.
He's going to look like, Ron Perlman in Sons of Anarchy, which, by the way, I would love to see. His Twitter feed is great. I love Ron Perlman.
Yeah.
And he was great in Sons of Anarchy. But
he's a nice guy, too. I got to meet him once.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tell us that story.
One of my first jobs out of college was I used to do cover red carpet events.
Yeah.
And I forget what the movie was. It was Amelie. And he was friends with the director.
Oh, wow.
And so he rolled up the red carpet. You know, only talked to him for like 5 minutes.
Sure, yeah, of course.
But he just seemed like a totally pleasant dude.
Oh, man. He seems like the best, dude.
Yeah.
He seems like the best. Anyways, yeah, it'd be like that. And so, or even worse, there was like an older dude on Sons of Anarchy who like carried the oxygen tank. It'd be like that. Nobody wants to see that.
No.
Goldberg would be, I mean, I don't know who'd win. That's kind of the bigger question is who would win?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what kind of history Batista and Cena have other than that where they were both champs at the same time on opposite brands.
Yeah.
I don't know if they ever had, I could look into it.
Well, I said Goldberg.
No, I'm just talking about the possibility of Batista.
Oh, okay,
being
all right.
Batista, I don't know if he and Cena ever had a prolonged feud of any kind, what their history is like.
Oh, I'm sure
I know they
have.
Yeah, I'm sure they have at some point. They might have been in OVW at the same time.
Yeah, they were,
up,
yeah.
They came up to the main around the same time. The
same class as Lesnar and Orton.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I don't know if there's anything there to build off of.
That's so lame.
Here's another thing, and we've talked about this before. If this Daniel Bryan Shane McMahon feud is leading to a match at Mania, and someone's going to have Daniel Bryan's proxy, why not his brother-in-law?
Do you think Shane?
No.
Is well, okay. I'm not asking if you feel.
No, that's
this
exactly
way.
What you said, though. Do you think?
You didn't even let me finish.
All right,
do you feel the WWE front office? Do you think Vince thinks that Shane versus Cena at Mania is a much bigger match than Styles versus Cena
at Mania. I think he would, be given Shane's recent history in high-profile matches.
Yeah.
And also, that's the A story on SmackDown.
You know, what's funny is that, so, I mean, Power Rank, what would you prefer?
Because of all those?
There's five names here. Shane, Undertaker, Batista, Goldberg, Hogan. What would you want to see? I'd want to see Goldberg versus Cena.
Yeah.
Because Goldberg, like, for some reason, all of a sudden is, like, the best promo guy in the WWE.
I know, he's great.
From last year. He was great.
It's heartfelt every time.
Yeah, and here's the thing, too. Who loves John Cena?
Kids.
And what does Goldberg have that he has featured prominently?
A kid.
A kid. So, I could imagine Goldberg definitely being enticed. Number one, Goldberg could be the guy who can keep something secret. I mean, it's literally a phone call between him, Vince, and then maybe Cena's on the line.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, hey, Bill, you want to have a run with Cena? Sure, Vince.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds great.
Yeah.
Their promos could be
great,
given their place in wrestling history.
Yeah, they the only thing great. Would be who would go over.
I know.
Well, that's, you know, apparently, though, who before, would win? Before Goldberg signed a multi-match deal, prior to Survivor Series last year, he was scheduled to lose to Lesnar.
Just, yeah, one loss to Lesnar, yeah.
So it might be entirely possible now that Goldberg had that one run, the title run, that he might be willing to come in for another match, take his Hall of Fame induction, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah.
Have a match against Cena.
Yeah. Boy, that'd be something else. That'd make for a great 24, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be fantastic. So that's probably my number one.
Yeah.
I
would say, actually, I would kind of think I would say Batista number two. Just because I think that'd probably be the best match.
Yes. Oh, definitely. Given all these names, it'd definitely be the best match. But that's not saying a lot.
No.
And is Batista? I
he's still in great shape. We know that.
Oh, no. I know he's in great shape. But his drawing power.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they obviously thought it was something.
More than it was.
Well, just something special back leading up to WrestleMania 30. Because he was slated to headline.
Did they learn any lessons from that? Because he was like immediately... Well, do they ever learn lessons? No, of course not. But you'd think that somebody's there savvy enough to say, okay, well, you know. And I don't know if that fits in with what Batista would want to do. Maybe that would kick off his year-long thing.
Well, he's also been pretty clear that at some points he wants a program against Triple H.
Yeah, I mean,
Mania
against Cena could be a kickoff.
Yeah, well, in that case, Batista would have to go over.
Which is weird. Which, I mean, I guess, no, that's not that weird. That makes sense, I guess.
At this point in Cena's career, he should be putting over young talent anyways.
I know, right? Let's talk about Undertaker versus Cena. Like you said,
it would kind of feel like a retread of last year.
Biker old man, and then on top of that, who would nobody benefits. The company doesn't really benefit. I mean,
the only benefit draw, is kind for of. Undertaker if they're going to give him a send off.
Yeah,
which we already kind of saw last year.
No, we absolutely saw last
year. Yeah, we absolutely saw
we
last
completely,
year.
The book should be closed. He descended down into the ramp.
He took off his hat and his coat.
He
after
left
putting it,
in the
it on
ring.
After losing.
Yeah,
put it in the middle of the ring. And drop down a trapdoor under the ramp.
Right.
That should be it. I agree. But Vince has a
because
tendency to change his mind from time to time.
If it's like, big send off, they need to be that they're going to have to be way more literal about it. I mean, I'm not sure how much more literal you can get besides a guy putting his ring.
No, the whole feud would have to be built around. This is the Undertaker's last stand, essentially.
And this is what you'd have to do, and it's kind of what you said. But this is the direction they have to go. Is the You'd have to do the thing, and Cena's been doing it left and right. You have to break the kayfabe thing. You'd have to, you know, I'm just, you know, I was the dead man. Now I'm just a man, and I want one last run. And that's what they would literally be having to call it, you know, the last match for the Undertaker or whatever.
End of an era.
End of an era. What was that, 10 years ago?
Close to it.
So they would have to, like, you know, be spelling out, watch the Undertaker's final match.
I know.
Because they didn't really spell that out last time.
Well, they did.
Although, hold on a second. Roman Reigns has been saying he retired the Undertaker.
Yeah, I was about to say that, yeah.
I mean, I kind of feel like at any point if Undertaker comes back, that kind of takes that rub off of Roman Reigns. Because he can no longer say he retired the Undertaker.
I know. They're in a bit of a pickle.
Boy, that really dug him into a hole, didn't it?
Well, unless Undertaker's actually retired.
Which he should be.
Yes. Hogan's not going to happen.
Come on.
I don't think
you don't want to see it.
I don't think he could take a bump.
What would you rather see? Hogan Cena or Shane Cena? How is it not Hogan Cena?
It's going to be dreadful, though.
So bad.
It's going to be horrendous.
It'd be so bad.
For match quality, I'd rather see Shane Cena.
And the story could be great. The story could be really good.
Shane Cena.
I mean, I would dispute WWE's claim that that'd be a higher profile match than fighting for the WWE title to tie Rick or to beat Ric Flair's record.
Yeah,
but
I know.
They view Shane as a top of the card draw. I don't.
It's got to be Bill Goldberg. Confidence points 8.
Okay,
all my confidence points are on Bill Goldberg.
Fine.
How many? What? Where's your confidence?
Well, wait.
Points
how many? In? There's one. There's five potential.
Yeah, so
confidence
five.
These. Okay. So yeah, Goldberg's 5 for you.
Yeah.
Shane's 5 for me.
Ooh, that's
and
probably
then,
a safer bet than
and
mine.
Then Goldberg is 4 for
okay,
me.
Okay. Shane's 4 for me.
And then Batista 3, Taker 2, Hogan 1.
All right. So then who wins? If it's Goldberg, I win.
Yeah.
Okay.
5 confidence points, whereas 4 for me.
Okay. Good. I still don't understand how it works.
Oh, we'll find out because we're going to do it for our Wrestle Kingdom predictions here in a little bit. Let's talk about the Rumble now because it's the next pay-per-view. We're about a month away from it.
Yeah.
So if these reports are true that Cena is going to take on a part-timer or just someone making a one-off appearance, that would take him out of winning the Rumble,
would
think.
Yeah,
unless
think.
There's some
yeah.
weird overbooking thing where he wins the Rumble and ends up losing his WrestleMania spot. Cena is currently, as we mentioned earlier, and this is probably the last time we'll mention or one of the last times we'll mention it, he is the betting favorite.
Mm-hmm.
Who is, in our mind, the favorite to win? Let's keep a couple things in mind. Nationwide Arena in Columbus, Ohio may have narrowed the field of potential Rumble winners because it seems they spoiled the main event for the show, the
Uh-oh.
SmackDown event.
Uh-oh.
So spoiler alert.
Spoiler
if
alert.
If you don't want to find out, skip ahead about
Before we say that, keep in mind,
card subject to change.
My God, these things change. Here's the thing that you have to understand. And even the stuff that Meltzer says has to understand. And people give Meltzer crap about when he says, well, yeah, plans changed. Plans do change.
Yes.
We've seen this. There is so much evidence to suggest that Vince McMahon will change things on a dime.
Yeah.
Like he'll wake up and just change things. So, yes, there is a potential spoiler here. Will it come to pass? I'll be honest, probably not. But
this match comes to pass at Fastlane. They advertise that AJ Styles will be defending the WWE Championship in a 5-way bout against Randy Orton, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens, and Sami Zayn.
All right.
So usually whoever wins the Rumble doesn't have a match at the following pay-per-view for any reason.
Yeah.
Unless it's to put his Rumble spot on the line, but that's not the situation here. This is a 5-way for the WWE title. So it seems like if the Rumble winner is going to come from SmackDown, he is not in this match.
Yeah.
So that leaves what? Baron Corbin, he's going to be contending for the U.S. title probably. Same with Bobby Roode.
Mm-hmm.
And Dolph.
Yeah.
None of those guys, anyways, right now are main event draws to the caliber of any of these other wrestlers.
Oh, no. Yeah, no.
So if it's going to be from SmackDown, they're going to have to do some funny business to justify this match. Anyways. Elimination Chamber is going to be in Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've announced not what the main event is, but advertised names, which you can assume there's 6 of them.
Wait, when is the Elimination Chamber?
February or March.
Okay.
6 of them. One of them was Dean Ambrose.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to be there. So you can assume that those 6 people were probably going to be in some sort of Elimination Chamber match.
Mm-hmm.
The names were Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, as I mentioned, Dean Ambrose, but he's hurt, so he probably won't be in it. Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and The Miz.
Mm-hmm.
So initially when I saw this, I thought, oh, this is going to be a match for number one contender Universal Championship. Rumble winner is going to come from SmackDown.
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe this is a match where there's some wonky finish of the Rumble, established number one contender. Maybe this is just an Elimination Chamber match for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah.
And any of these people could be winning the Rumble.
Okay, well, my thing was this.
We know Braun's not going to win the Rumble because he's in a match with Kane against Lesnar. Take Braun out.
The Elimination Chamber, everybody has to either get pinned or submitted.
Uh-huh.
Shit, okay. Because my assertion, I still think is true that you're not going to see Roman Reigns get pinned before WrestleMania.
Well, he could pass out to a coquina clutch.
No, you're not. I don't think you're going to see him
in a situation of weakness.
Yeah.
The only situation I could see where that would happen is in some sort of match against Braun Strowman, because they can use that for storyline purposes after he beats Lesnar. Have Strowman be the one guy he is yet to defeat, even though he beat him early last year.
Look, man,
I don't see it happening, but that's the only way I could. Potentially see it happen.
I mean, I see your point. I just don't agree with it because I think that Vince, once he has his mind set on something,
yeah.
He's a superhuman being.
And they really
he's
need to,
never
if,
gonna.
If that's Vince's attitude, then he needs to defend the Intercontinental title at Mania before he goes on to fight for the Universal title. If they really want to build him up
Roman
as
Roman Mania,
basically Superman.
Yeah, my pick is still Roman. I mean, main event Elimination Chamber. Yeah. Where'd you get the info for the Elimination Chamber from?
It's from I think some Vegas news site.
Okay.
I think it was the arena advertising. Hold on, I'll pull the link up here. Something called Broadway World Las Vegas. And they have
unless
advertised
they did.
Names for the card.
Yeah.
But like I said, they just list those six names.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily in conjunction with the main event. Because you got to assume Elimination Chamber. Then Braun and Kane will have their blow off.
Yeah.
Apparently Lesnar's not advertised for Elimination Chamber because his name wasn't mentioned here.
Of course he's not. Why would he be?
No, he's after Rumble, he's not wrestling again until Mania.
Yeah.
And after that, he's going to take some time off and go look at his land.
I'm going to go look at my land. Yeah, I don't know. I think, I still think Roman comes out of the Rumble. Betting odds be damned. But, I mean,
he was in the top five.
Yeah. You know, I think they probably have a plan.
Wait, hold on. We both are 100% confident that Randy Orton's going to win the Royal Rumble.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
To take on AJ
that's
Styles,
right, yeah.
And be champion.
That's right. It's Randy Orton.
Randy Orton, right?
Orton.
Yeah. Randy Orton.
Randy Orton's going to win absolutely the Royal Rumble. I mean, you know, we could be saying that just to ensure that he doesn't.
No, I say that with the utmost confidence.
Okay, good. Me too.
Good.
I was just saying, I don't want anybody to get the wrong idea that we're just saying that so that it definitely doesn't happen.
All right.
I don't know. I'm just saying, I think it's definitely going to happen.
Okay.
All my confidence points. That leads to a pickle.
What?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to risk my confidence points on that, though.
No? Okay. No.
Are you gonna do that?
Well, this isn't a Rumble's prediction thing. That happens later.
All right.
In 4 weeks or so.
Good.
Do you want to talk about Kenny Omega's thoughts on Nakamura's run WWE for a little bit?
Because yeah. What did he
say? Especially in relation to him, you know, being the main event scene, potentially winning the Rumble. He just talked about... Yeah, in an interview with Sports Illustrated's Extra Mustard, talked a bit about Wrestle Kingdom 12, and then Justin Barrasso brought up Nakamura's run in WWE, and Kenny Omega says some interesting quotes. Quote, I'm happy for the response that he's getting, of course, and all of us in New Japan knew that when he left, he's going to get over with his charisma. But when I see Nakamura in WWE, it's hard for me to say he's done anything compelling in ring since he's been there, which is a shame. And I would say, apart from his match against Sami Zayn in NXT, he's almost right.
No, I think he's absolutely.
He had some good matches with Joe in NXT. His first match, especially with Bobby Roode, was really good.
Yeah,
but I don't think, apart from that match with Zayn, he hasn't done anything.
None
like
of them.
Five
none of them lived
quality.
Up. None of them lived up to Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that Samoa Joe. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't... In terms of, like, the top five wrestling guys that are, like, oh, dream matches for Shinsuke Nakamura, it's AJ, I would say Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn is up there.
Mm-hmm.
And then who else? I mean, I'm not sure if Samoa Joe would be up there, but Seth Rollins.
Yeah, Seth.
And then Finn. Maybe Finn, and yeah. Probably Finn. Those are, like, my five dream matches. Has he fought Finn?
I think he might have in New Japan.
No, no, I'm talking about...
It was in
WWE.
Finn's last match in NXT.
Oh, they did NXT. Oh, that's right. Yeah, they did better NXT thing. Okay.
That was a good match.
Yeah, that was a good match. But obviously, he hasn't fought AJ. He fought Zayn. That was great.
He's wrestled Owens.
Owens, but on a
SmackDown. Yeah.
No stakes, nothing big there. Yeah, but anyways, his point, Kenny sort of talks about...
This is probably the most interesting thing is when he talks about WWE's overbooking.
Yeah.
And he said... some people in WWE even need their steps and their footing in the ring choreographed. They have to pace their breathing before they can even go through with a match in the ring. When you're used to dealing with people who need that much management, who need to have that much choreography in their matches before they go out and perform, then when a guy like Nakamura, who in this new age of strong style, and a lot of that is based off emotion and feeling and fighting spirit, wrestles someone who needs marks on the ring so they can get his footing right with a set of instructions, that's where Nakamura styles gets lost in translation, everything starts to come across as soulless, if that makes any sense.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think literally there's marks in the ring, but
well, no, because we'd see that.
We'd probably see that, but you know, I don't know. I mean, it's weird because I read this. I read this as I was watching NXT from last night because we filmed this on Thursday.
Yeah.
And I was watching, and I mean, even when you go back and watch, like we did a Going In Raw view on NXT Rival, I think it was, and it was the Four Horsewomen match. Mm-hmm. And like the fire, and I'm not meaning that as a pun for like Becky Lynn, but Becky Lynch, but you watch Becky Lynch go at it, and it's like, I've never seen that on main roster with her. She's a terrific wrestler.
Yeah.
And we saw that on NXT. Yeah. Same thing with, honestly, with Bayley and Sasha Banks. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen that same level. We saw a bit of it with Sasha Banks and Charlotte with their feud.
But even their matches, as good as what they were, didn't compare to what Bayley and Sasha did in NXT.
Right, exactly. And so there is this weird thing where I agree with what he's saying in that, I mean, the proof is in the pudding.
Yeah.
You see the product that is on main roster, and it does feel slower, more rehearsed, more choreographed, more, it's stale.
It's the WWE style of wrestling.
It's the exact, which sucks.
Which I think Vince is convinced translates the best on television. It makes for a better television product, which I don't necessarily agree with because we see with New Japan's television presentation.
Well, what we're talking about are two different things then, because there's a WWE style, which you're talking about, but then, you know, AJ works within the WWE style, and I don't think what he's saying here applies to AJ at all. And I think that's why AJ is such an, I mean, he's better than a lot of people, but also I think he might just have more liberty out there, more freedom out there, because maybe Vince just trusts him more. So I don't know what it is. But there is this weird difference between what we see in NXT and then when they get to the main roster, and it's not just in the character stuff, which it is.
Yeah.
I mean, there is the character issue.
Well, it's the character issue. It's the pace of matches for the most part. It's the spots they're allowed to do for
the
most
part. Well, I wonder if it is a matter of micromanaging these matches.
Yes.
You know, Vince, he's 72 years old. He's sitting there at the freaking monitor, and he's got Kevin Owens coming up to him say, are we good? No. And it's like he's sitting there. It does feel micromanaged.
Yes.
And in NXT, it does not feel micromanaged.
No, it feels like the wrestlers in NXT are trusted to do their job to the best of their abilities.
It's bizarre to me that NXT is where you're supposed to like hone your craft to the WWE way of doing things, but everything feels so fresh. And then they get to like the next level up, main roster.
Everything's where everything's choreographed.
That's where everything like is dumbed down.
Yeah.
Is choreographed, is micromanaged.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it's totally true.
Yeah. It feels that way.
It feels that way. It feels like what he's saying is true. I mean, I would like to think that's why we're pining so much for AJ Styles versus Nakamura on the big stage. Not just, oh, hey, this week, guess what? It was announced AJ versus Nakamura on main event of SmackDown, which feels like it could be
at any moment. Yeah.
At any moment.
Yeah.
And then we'd get 12 minutes of time, 3 minutes on introductions or entrance.
A 2.5 minute commercial break in the middle of the match.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's what we got with, you see, John Cena, who I guarantee they just let him be free, do what he wants to do. He doesn't always take advantage of that.
No.
And then Shinsuke, who they let him do, I think in that match, they let him go out there and have some freedom because it was a terrific.
It was good, yeah.
7 minutes of wrestling.
Yeah.
Or whatever we got.
But I've noticed with Nakamura especially, I noticed this somewhat in NXT, but it's been really obvious on the main roster, is that it feels like they went to him and said, okay. And I kind of feel that they do this with pretty much everybody on main, is all right, for most matches, you know, stick to a basic arsenal of moves. Don't really deviate from that.
Mm-hmm.
So people know, okay, well, this situation, this move's happened, so they can pop for it.
Yeah.
Which makes the matches feel somewhat predictable.
Yeah.
Because you know all the spots, all the wrestlers are going to do. Which is kind of refreshing when we saw Styles and Owens have their match on SmackDown, and Owens was doing stuff that he hadn't done before.
Yeah.
Styles, it's not uncommon for him to bust out something different or approach to a usual move.
Yeah.
Done differently.
Yeah.
Cesaro seemed like for a while every week he was doing something different.
One of the biggest issues one of the biggest like areas where this is like really, really blatant is on 205 Live.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching that yesterday, and during the Tony Nese Akira Tozawa match. No, during the Deo Itami Jack Gallagher match. But during both matches, there were extended rest periods.
I know.
The rest holds.
I know.
I have no idea why, because, you know, looking at the Cruiserweight Classic, on any given night, those guys can go.
I know.
And it's like, you already have a crowd that is saying, this is awful, which is, you know, on the crowd, screw them. That's You should never say that.
Yeah, don't say that.
But they probably wouldn't be saying that if you just said, hey, put on like the best match you can tonight.
Well, part
you
of know? The problem, we get
don't kill one. Yourself. Yeah. Don't hurt yourself, but keep the pace high. Keep it going. Keep it hot.
A couple high spots.
Yeah.
One of the problems, we'll get to this more in our 205 live recap, which we'll do after this. I feel like it's Jack Gallagher has yet to find a way to wrestle as a heel and still entertain.
Yeah.
It's like his approach to heel wrestling. You know, because when he was a face, you know, he'd do the thing where he tied people up like a pretzel and kick them in the butt.
It's like everything that he did that made him was designed for a face wrestler.
Yes. Yeah, and now that he's a heel, he just stripped all that away. But there's nothing compelling about how he wrestles now.
Yeah.
And so it makes his matches boring.
Yeah.
Now as a heel, he is a boring wrestler. I hate to say it because he's got all the potential in the world, I think, to be an entertaining wrestler, heel or face.
Yeah, but you know what? I do wonder if.
And he always talks about being cruel. There's nothing cruel about how he wrestles. A headlock's not a cruel move.
I don't want to put the onus on him necessarily, though, because that wouldn't surprise me if that was a director.
Oh, yeah. I'm not trying to say that it's all on him. I'm sure they
I'm sure they didn't go and say, hey, you're going to be a heel now. You know, do what you want to do. And then he says, all right, I'm going to be really boring.
You know what's the cruelest thing? Boring people.
Exactly. It reminds me, it actually kind of reminds me of, and again, I'm a big old nerd, with Star Trek.
Yeah.
They tell the actors who are humans or who are portraying humans, they are humans, to dial back on emotions.
Yeah.
And so whenever there's aliens, they seem more like, you know, filled with life than the, you know, more, you know, interesting than the humans because they're supposed to be like aliens, whatever. I always thought that was kind of interesting. I'm like, oh, that's why we got a lot of kind of, I don't know, dialed down performances with like the humans always seem like the most boring characters by design.
Yeah.
And then Discovery comes around and the humans are like throwing out F-bombs left and right. It's weird. But anyways. So I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. It sucks. We have Shinsuke Nakamura. You got him for 3 years or however long you have before. You know, take advantage of it.
Exactly.
It's funny because I know that people still, at some point, you know, Ricochet's coming to town, right?
Yeah.
Ricochet's showing up. Are they going to be like, okay, listen, go like 60%.
Well, I feel like that's what they
every
said.
Every week.
I feel like that's what they say to Hideo Itami. I feel like that's what they say to Seth Rollins.
I know.
I literally feel like Seth Rollins is running half speed in the ring.
I know.
And maybe part of that is because they wrestle so much, they got to save their bodies. But I also feel like they're told, slow it down a little bit because it translates better on TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then we see, like I said, we see New Japan's product. They ain't slowing anything down.
They don't slow anything
and
down.
And it still translates well. Same with NXT. I don't feel like anybody's running half speed in NXT.
I know.
It translates fine.
I know. It's great.
It's just Vince's, you know, like, preconceptions of what wrestling has to be.
Why is he going so fast? It's making my head spin.
And this is action too fast to call.
So the ref, slow it down.
All right, guys. Seth, slow it down a little bit. Tranquilo, Seth.
Tranquilo, Seth.
All right, speaking of tranquilo, let's talk our Wrestle Kingdom 12 predictions.
Yes.
Are we doing a live stream of this freaking thing or
what? I don't know. I don't know if we're going to have the means to do it.
Listen, I'll tell you this.
You're doing it in office space. Yet,
for absolute kind of sure. For absolute sure, I will be live tweeting it.
There you go.
For absolute sure. But
we'll do a recap the next day at the least.
But without... Oh, yeah. No, we're going to do that. Without office space, it is very difficult to justify... You know, we both got kids.
Yeah.
And this is, you know...
We don't want to have to worry about sitting there and live streaming and trying to be quiet.
When you have families, they generally tend to, you know, hold you down and stifle your creativity. Don't have families, people. Nah, they're great. So I don't know. There's a part I would really, really love to do a live stream, but like, I don't really want to do it in your garage because I want to be able to yell. I don't really want to be in your garage. I don't really want to do it in here because, look, man, I want to shout Rainmaker.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to do that just sitting there by myself. But if I'm live streaming, I'm going to feel the need to shout. You know, nobody wants to see us go, wow,
Rainmaker.
Exactly. Destino.
Break the walls down.
That fool's not coming out to that.
Oh, I know.
Anyways, okay, here we go. Our predictions.
First match, New Japan Rumble.
Jeff Cobb. Last year it was Michael Elgin. Gato seems to have a decent sense of humor about this whole Michael Elgin, Jeff Cobb
situation. We'll talk about that later in the never six-man tag
match. Oh, that's right. No, never mind. Elgin's, okay, yeah. But Jeff Cobb's not in that, is he?
No. He's not advertised for the show yet.
The New Japan Rumble. Oh, I haven't seen. Hold on. I'm going to check Jeff Cobb's Twitter. Because right. At this point, it's a week away. He's got to be like at least heading out there.
You'd think so.
Let's see if Jeff Cobb. Who are you picking for the New Japan Rumble?
Kojima.
Oh, that's probably a good one.
We'll make our picks, and afterwards we'll do our confidence points.
Oh, I need to follow him. Let's see if he's booked on anything coming up here.
While you do that, next match, we got Roppongi 3K versus the Young Bucks.
Hold on a second.
One way or the other, Roppongi 3K is getting a win over the Young Bucks to solidify themselves as top junior heavyweight tag team. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if it's going to happen here or later. I don't know if they're going to do... Ooh, this could be interesting.
Yeah.
What if they continue the story of Roppongi Vice?
I don't think Jeff Cobb's going to be there.
Okay, Roppongi Vice and the Young Bucks, given their awesome trilogy last year. Last year at Wrestle Kingdom, the Young Bucks lost to Roppongi Vice.
Oh, Roppongi 3K versus the Young Bucks. I kind of feel like the Young Bucks are above this title at this point.
I agree, so I'm tempted to pick Roppongi.
I already did it. Roppongi. Roppongi Vice. Roppongi Knights.
All right, here we go. This is the gauntlet match for the never open weight 6-man tag team title.
What are the teams?
You have Team Bullet Club, which is Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa. Wah, wah. Team Chaos, which is Beretta, Ishii, and Yano.
Oh, yeah.
You have Michael Elgin and War Machine.
That's the best. I might choose them. I'm screwed. I'm choosing Elgin and War Machine.
And then Team Suzuki-Gun, which is Taichi, Iizuka, and Zack Sabre Jr.
Ooh,
and then Taguchi Japan, which is Juice Robinson, Taguchi, and Makabe. I'm going Chaos.
See, I would hesitate to go Chaos because Beretta's supposed to be like a singles guy right now.
Well, no, he's supposed to be a heavyweight right now.
Oh, right.
For me, it's either Chaos or Bullet Club. Because this is War Machine's probably their last
commitment. Oh, that's right. This is their last time. Never mind.
They're probably going to be first eliminated.
Dang it.
Elgin's going to take the pin.
Dang, you're going with Chaos?
No, I'm going with Bullet Club.
I'll take Chaos then. Bullet Club.
Kota Ibushi versus Cody. I'm all in on Ibushi winning this match. I think that's why Cody dropped that belt. Or one of the reasons Cody dropped the belt to Dalton Castle.
Ibushi also.
Like I said, confidence points can change all this up.
Hold on a second. Let me think about this one. When was the last time we saw Ibushi?
What was the last major show? King of Pro Wrestling?
Who did he fight?
Tanahashi, I think.
That's right. Yeah, he lost against Tanahashi.
Yeah.
Has he signed with New Japan? Is he with New Japan?
I mean, he is now. I don't know if he signed like a long-term deal. It would seem like it since he's returned using his own name rather than Tiger Mask W.
He just lost the title. He's not losing that.
All right. Next, Killer Elite Squad versus LIJ for the Heavyweight Tag Team Championships.
Killer Elite Squad versus LIJ.
LIJ, I say.
Oh, because you think they're all going to be...
No, Bushi won't have a belt.
Wait, who?
Bushi.
Oh, Bushi. Is he even...
No.
He's not,
what if he wins the New Japan Rumble?
Oh, Sonata. Wait, isn't
it Sonata and Evil?
Oh, they're the... Okay.
Yeah.
All right. God, I'm so confused.
Why?
I mean, it's probably... Yeah, it's probably... I don't know, man. Hold on a second. Suzuki-Gun has to come out with something.
Yeah, he'll probably retain the never open weight title.
Wait, who's fighting in that six in the never six man?
For Suzuki-Gun, it's Iizuka, Taichi, and Zack Sabre Jr.
I'm gonna say Suzuki wins that. Suzuki-Gun.
Gotcha.
And then Killer Elite Squad versus LIJ. Yeah, I'll take LIJ on that.
Next, Minoru Suzuki versus Hiroshi Goto. For the never open weight title.
Never overweight title.
Yeah, I thought I said overweight. And it's a hair versus hair match.
I'll say Suzuki wins.
Well, then you got Goto losing would be the most dramatic hair.
Goto losing will be a lot of hair. Suzuki, what are they going to do with Suzuki? He doesn't have any hair.
Well, he has that strip in the back. And he has that cool pattern.
He'll look the exact. I mean, I guess getting rid of the pattern, but he's not going to do that. If you follow him on Instagram, man, he's all about, that dude is all about fashion.
Oh, yeah.
He is not giving up his hair. You think that old man's giving up his hair?
Uh-uh. All right.
That's that's why I'm betting on Suzuki. Okay.
Suzuki. Next, for the junior heavyweight title, Marty Scurll, champion.
Yeah.
Versus Takahashi versus Ospreay versus Kushida.
I'm going to give it to Ospreay.
I'm tempted to. I mean, I think because whether Scurll retains or Ospreay wins, I think it has to come down to a one-on-one match between the two of them, which Ospreay has to win to culminate that story.
Yeah. Takahashi's role in the lead-up, which has been hilarious, might give him an edge.
Yeah.
Because he's been the guy who's kind of been jacked the entire time.
Yeah.
And to have him win that title would be. But, I mean, I don't know if that's like, you know, a tell or not.
I just
think it's a.
Yeah, I was tempted to pick Ospreay, too.
Mm-hmm.
Next, for the Intercontinental title, Tanahashi versus Jay White.
Man.
If Tanahashi hadn't gotten hurt, like his knee is messed up, I hear.
Yeah, dude. He's all sorts of banged up.
Well, of course, his biceps still.
You think they're going to give this thing to Jay White? But Tanahashi's a mess.
I know.
I'm going to say this. I'll do this. Tanahashi, but I think he loses it at New Year's Dash. I think he's going to lose it the next night.
That's a good idea.
To somebody else. It's somebody else.
All right.
And it isn't going to be Jay White.
I think it'll be a good showing for Jay White.
I think it'll be a great showing for him. But, dude, come on. What is he, 12 years old? He's not picking up that icy title right now.
He just came back from excursion, too.
And he's going to lose. And it's like they built him up so big, he's going to lose in his first match.
Yeah.
Ouch. Yeah, I'll say this. If I had been more impressed with, like, his promo stuff since he came back.
Yeah.
But he seems like he's kind of out of his element a little bit.
What if he loses at Wrestle Kingdom, has a rematch at New Year's Dash, and wins it there?
Oh, there you go. But still, Tanahashi's going to retain at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing. If his knee's busted up, and we know his biceps all messed up, this might be, like, you know, his Wrestle Kingdom send-off for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably going to want him to look strong.
Yeah.
So they'll ride him off the next night.
Yeah.
That's my guess.
Yes. Agreed. Next, Chris Jericho versus Kenny Omega.
Kenny Omega. This might be my confidence. Where all my confidence points are going to go.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Jericho's been kind of sticking it to Naito a little bit. They might be setting something up there. Jericho's going to be at New Year's Dash.
Yeah, man.
So it's not just a one-off.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, Kenny Omega's probably going to win.
Yeah, because it's for the U.S. title, man. He's going to be.
They could set up, I still feel like they could set up the trilogy. Jericho wins here.
They're not going to have a match Omega, on the boat, man.
Omega wins at Strong Style Evolved.
Not going to have a
and
boat
then
match.
The rubber match is on the boat.
They're not going to have a rubber match on a boat where it's not even live streamed?
Or Dominion, maybe. Maybe Dominion.
Dominion, yeah. But on a boat.
It could be on the boat.
Jericho's trying to promote that thing, saying that, you know, the women fans are going to be in bikinis. He could be promoting it, saying, we're going to have another match on my boat.
We can't announce it yet.
Probably, I mean, it's not a great idea to be promoting it that way, by the way.
No, it's not.
It's very tacky.
It is. It's better promoted by saying you're going to have a rubber match against Kenny Omega on a boat.
I know, exactly.
But he can't announce it yet. And that's not an excuse to promoting it how he has been. There's no justification for that. Main event, Tetsuya Naito versus Kazuchika Okada for the IWGP Heavyweight title.
I mean, it's storytelling.
Naito gets all my confidence points. 10 confidence points for Naito.
All the confidence
all
points.
All of them.
Okay, but here's the thing, though.
What?
Where are we differing? Oh, but then we go. Okay, so here's the thing. If we don't differ, let me ask you something. If we don't differ on any match.
That's where the confidence points comes in.
Okay.
It's like a tiebreaker.
Okay, but how, though?
Because, well, I mean, unless we select the same confidence points for everything.
Okay, well, okay. Here's my point. Let's say there's just two matches.
Yeah.
Would the confidence points still work?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because you assign one.
So I put 2 points on Jericho Omega, and you put 2 points
on
Naito Okada,
and then I put 1 and 1. So if you put two, like if I put 2 on Naito, you put 1 on Naito in the main event.
Okay,
Naito wins, I get 2 points. If you put 2 in Omega and I put 1, oh yeah, it's a tie, huh?
I guess
that's why you have to do it more than just two matches.
Okay, all right. Oh man.
We'll try it, and if it doesn't work.
Dude, I'm fine. I love that you can't. I love when you come up with new stuff. I love it. It's great.
1 confidence point for Kojima.
Oh, God. Who else is going to be? Okay, hold on. I still got to figure the Rumble out, dude.
All right, take your time.
Who else is going to be in the Rumble? You're probably right. Kojima's a great pick. Tenzin, is he going to be in the Rumble?
Tenzin,
maybe. Be in the Rumble.
Maybe.
Who's the dude who got hurt is Hanma, so Makabe is his partner, right?
Yeah, but he's in the Never.
He's in the Never with everybody else. Yeah. Okay. Elgin's in the Never. Who am I missing? I'm missing somebody, man. I know there's going to be some Ring of Honor guys there, like Jay Lethal will probably be in there.
Yeah, there's a good chance of that happening.
But I don't think they're going to give it to who they give it to Elgin last year. But yeah. Elgin signed with New Japan for now.
Yeah, for now.
They put him with War Machine. That's brilliant.
That's hilarious.
Who's hanging with War Machine? Elgin.
Elgin. All right, write your confidence points in there, man.
Oh, these confidence, but can I do the confidence points later?
No, do them now. We have to do it.
I feel like it's bad TV.
No, this is good TV. Just do it quickly. I did it quickly. You get one number for each match.
All your confidence? Oh, your second biggest confidence points are on Roppongi 3K?
No, that's the third.
How many matches are there? It was 10. 10. Of them? Oh, it was 10 of them. That's your third, really?
Yeah.
Man, all my confidence points are with, no, I'll do 8 here with Suzuki.
Wow.
Okay, dude, find out. While I'm doing this, go to last year's Wrestle Kingdom and start telling me the names from last year's New Japan Rumble.
Okay, one second.
Because we need to fill this with just not dead air of me staring at my stupid computer.
Yes. I'm going to change a couple things.
You're going to change some of the entrance from last year's Rumble?
No.
Kenny Omega gets all my confidence points. Wait, is there somebody I have more confidence points with?
All right, last year's New Japan Rumble featured Michael Elgin, Billy Gunn, Bone Soldier, Cheeseburger, Jushin Liger, Kobayashi, Tiger Mask, Nakanishi, Taguchi, Yoshitatsu, Yuji Nagata, Tenzan, Hiro Saito, and Scott Norton.
That's right, Scott Norton. That's rad. Oh my goodness. Goodness gracious. That doesn't help me at all.
Oh, you like Yuji Nagata might be a good pick.
Yeah, I know. I thought that too. Who's the guy who talks about bread all the time?
Oh, that's Kojima.
Oh, that's Kojima?
Yeah. Bread Club.
Who had like their last, who had that great G1?
Did Nagata have a good G1?
Nagata. Yuji Nagata?
Sure.
Was that the guy who
I don't know if he won a match during G1, to be honest with you.
But he had like great matches.
Yeah.
Hold on. Yuji Nagata. I think it's whoever that was.
Just pick Yuji Nagata. I'm going to write it down for you. I assume that's...
Yeah, that's it's gonna, Nagata. It's Nagata's
be,
totally going to win.
That's going to be your number one confidence point, your least valuable confidence point, because it's the New Japan Rumble. Or you can go on the ledge and give that match 3 or 2 or 5 confidence points.
I don't have a lot of confidence in this Ospreay pick.
All right.
LIJ went... Wow, you went high on LIJ.
Yeah.
Cody, I'll go... High with Cody. No, I'll go 6 with Cody.
Ooh. It's
probably a terrible pick.
Maybe.
LIJ is 6 and Cody's 5.
What are you going to give Roppongi 3K?
Tanahashi. 7 for Tanahashi.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing, man.
What numbers do you
have?
What
numbers
left?
Do I have left?
You have
Roppongi 3K.
2 and 4.
4. And then look at that. Bang, 2.
Whoa. And then 1 for Suzuki-gun.
And then where is that?
Never. 6-man.
Oh, man. I'm super confident about that, though. I have 1 for that?
Yeah. 1 is the only number you have left.
1. 5.
1 for Cody.
Yeah, 1 for Cody. No confidence for Cody.
All right. We have one follow-up real quick like here about the return of the XFL.
Oh, yeah. Right on.
This happened 20 like seconds, about a week ago.
Yeah.
After we already shot Dirt Sheet. ESPN's Darren Ravel reported on the 22nd of December that Vince McMahon sold more than 3 million shares of WWE stock for about $100 million.
Mm-hmm.
And the filing for this sale stated that he sold the shares to, quote, fund a separate entity from the company, Alpha Entertainment LLC, which Mr. McMahon established to explore investment opportunities across the sports and entertainment landscapes, including professional football. So pretty much verbatim what the WWE said to Deadspin.
The stock went down for a bit because of that. Because
he sold it less than market value.
Yeah.
Or what it was listed as. That's what Meltzer said.
Oh, okay. Then I think it ticked back up, didn't it?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. It's like at $30 now.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think Vince sold for like $28 or $29.
Yeah. Good for him.
So just a hair under what it is listed for.
Yeah, still no more word. I mean, we're still a month or less than a month away.
It was the 25th. Brad Shepard said an announcement was going to be made, so we'll see if that actually happens.
Yeah, we'll see.
Anyway. It'll be interesting to see. There's all sorts of trademarks for XFL and UFL and URFL.
URFL. It's URFL. That's terrible.
Oh, it's a terrible name.
Yeah, it's probably a terrible idea.
Oh, yeah, definitely is a terrible idea.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. If it gets them out of the WWE, that'd be cool, though. Because I don't really care. It's football. Who cares?
Yeah.
But if it gets him out, if Paul Levesque...
If another failed football league gets fenced out of the wrestling business.
If that shadowy figure Paul Levesque takes over, you know, the guy, the man behind the man, listen, Dad.
Terrorizing.
Wow, Dad, this is a great idea.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, no, he's transforming into Trump. Anyways, that's it for now on Dirt Sheet. Thanks so much for tuning in. Until next time, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.